podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello everyone, welcome to Gianni's team selection ahead of the final game week before the World Cup. How are you, Gianni? You feeling good?
Yeah, mate, I'm really well. I'm looking forward to game week 16. I'm probably looking forward to a bit of an FPL rest, but I'm also very excited about the World Cup and Fantasy World Cup as well. So yeah, here I am in my Italy shirt. I can imagine all the comments now early on in the World Cup. Well, I don't care. I'm still wearing one of my favourite shirts.
Very brave wearing that just before the World
Cup. Yeah, so. I know. And I've gone World Cup theme behind me as well. Like, I'm going to just be rotating international jerseys on my wall for the next month, I think.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Spain only because I put money on them. Not because I actually want them to win. I just think they've... you never know with the World Cup. Like, you're obviously backing the favourites, Brazil. If you ask me who you think's most likely to win, I probably would go Brazil. But in terms of value for money and the odds you get for a very young Spanish team with what I think has got the best manager at the World Cup, I'm happy to have a little punt there.
Very good, very good. Apologies for if my sound quality is a little bit reduced and my image is a bit of a brightness there coming from. I'm in Sweden, sunny. Not sunny Sweden.
Sunny Sweden.
Ish. Grey and wet Sweden, unfortunately. But yeah, it's very nice. But I'm using some kind of dodgy equipment that I've discovered in this house. So we're trying to make the best of it. Right, we're going to talk about Game Week 15. It was drama, as always. We're going to talk about Game Week 16. One more week left for the World Cup, obviously. So... this is the time to dead-end your teams and get those final day punts. And we're also going to have a bit of a reflex on the season so far, some of the standout teams and players and that kind of thing. Before we do that, Journey's team selection, as always, is sponsored by Fantasy 5. If you haven't played Fantasy 5 before, it's a completely free-to-play game, which you can play every week, and you can win £10,000 for free. All you've got to do is pick five players who outscore their fantasy point target, and if they all do so... you win £10,000 or a share of £10,000 if others get it right as well. Guess what, Gianni? There was a winner.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, we finally had a winner. Bozidar, congratulations. He went for Salah, Gabriel, James Maddison, Almiron, which were all pretty standard picks, but then went for Visa in the Brentford.
Fair play. Game. But we knew Tony was out, so yeah. Visa was probably a little bit underpriced. You know?
I know. And you look at that team, you know, Salah, Gabriel, Maddison, Almiron. Okay, Gabriel was tricky, you know, Arsenal defender away at Chelsea. Obviously got the goal, quite a lot of luck there. But the rest were pretty solid picks. And
Did he go Harry Kane?
Kane. No, what? Exactly. I know. Harry Kane at 3-5 went for Salah instead and won it. I thought, you know, Kane also would have... also won it as well because he had a ridiculous price last week. But yeah, we actually ignored the bonus offer and won it anyway. So yeah, congratulations. He was the single jackpot winner, so he won £10,000 all on his own. So there you go. Get involved. Links in the description below as always. Right, let's talk about game week 15 then. Yeah. You had Pope in goal, Bueno, Cancelo, oh dear, Zuma, Trippier with 12 and Williams with 1. So not a great week for your five at the back defence. But it gets a bit better now, luckily. Marcelo with 3, Salah with 15, De Bruyne a captain with 14, Kane with 8 and Alvarez with 9. So green arrow for you. No Haaland in your team. We'll talk about him in quite a bit of detail because... you're going to struggle to get him back.
I'm getting him back.
Yeah. What were your moves? What were your moves and how did they come out?
So I went city to city. So I had two free transfers because the week before I wasn't able to make my transfer. So I had two frees. And I went Haaland out to Alvarez and then Foden out to KDB. I said on this stream last week, if we get wind of X player for Man City not starting, I will transfer them out because I believe... having three Man City players for Fulham at the Etihad was an absolute must. Mm. So I went, Alvarez, I think he'll start. We never had confirmation Alvarez was starting, but I was happy to take that punt based on the news we had on Haaland. And then KDB we knew would start because of being at, he was rested in the Champions League. And he starts every game. So KDB captain was very easy, and Alvarez in were my two transfers. I was so disappointed when Cancelo gave away the penalty and got red carded. Not because I owned him. I didn't really mind the minus two, because pretty much everyone else is getting that minus two other than you, as who doesn't own him. So I was fine with
most
that.
Most have celebrated all season, I think, that red card.
What I really cared about was that then meant a City with 10 men with an hour of football still to play or whatever it was meant my Alvarez points, my De Bruyne captaincy points were massively going to be reduced. And at the time, they were 1-0 up. Alvarez had scored. When he scored early, I just thought, I'm getting a hat-trick here. But the Cancelo red changed the game. It also meant, in my head straight away, as soon as I saw that, we're going to see Haaland now. I don't think we were going to see Haaland. I really don't. If it was 3-4-0, Haaland stays benched. But we saw Haaland because the game was still tight at 1-0. So that red card had a huge knock-on effect for fantasy owners of Haaland, but also of Alvarez, De Bruyne and any other City players.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the most...
I can't complain, though. Still got points.
Absolutely, no. I mean, it was one of the most dramatic, like, deadline days, is that what we call them? Deadlines, FPL deadlines. Because obviously the server crashed again for the second week in a row. It left a lot of people unsure. I was unsure who my captain was on. You know, I'd made my transfers earlier, which was a bit of a bit of an issue, really, because I didn't take Foden out, and then we got the news that he wasn't starting, and I took Zaha out instead, and it was all, you know how it goes, it's all a bit of a nightmare. Were you making transfers right up until deadline, or changing your team, or were you locked in before the kind of issues?
I don't want to be seen to be sort of promoting team leaks too much, because I'm not a fan of them, and I'm not a fan of us gaining an advantage, but sure, with the information we have, we do it. But just to reference what happened, I guess at 10 past, the deadline was at 1:30. We got team news at 10 past, a reliable leak. By 11 minutes past, as I'd made my transfers, I was completely on it, because I knew what had happened the week before, and I knew the only things I was looking for. I wasn't going to be waiting on team news from Brentford or whatever other team. It was like, if I get that Man City news, I know exactly what I'm doing. So I was really quick, and because of that, I beat the rush. But I was very lucky, and I'm not willing to wait again. I think I've learnt my lesson. I missed out the week before when I wasn't able to make transfers. The week just gone, I got very lucky that I made mine super earlier than most. Next week, I'll be making my transfers with good time. I'm not going to be waiting for leaks, because it's just too unreliable. And people will moan. If people moan for the third week they weren't able to make transfers, knowing what we know of the last couple of weeks, you've probably only got yourself to blame. It's not, maybe some might say it's not good enough, but let's just play with what's in front of us. We know what happens, so work your way around it if you can.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, because, I mean, in the end, people... You know, if people didn't get their moves through or their transfers through, they weren't crazily punished, because Haaland still got the goal. You know, I know Salah got more points. Maybe a few would have moved the captaincy over to him and that kind of stuff. But, you know, at least... And, you know, if you transferred him out, now hopefully you've got him back for this Brentford game. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a strange one. I mean, De Bruyne, for example, seemed to me like just such a unbelievably great captaincy option. Against Fulham with Haaland and Foden both out, and for him to only get 7 points, and, you know, Salah to then get 15 and other players to do well, I was disappointed with that.
As a KDB owner and captainer, I'd seen and heard how well he was playing up until the red card, and he had a couple of shots as well. It was a game there for him and Alvarez. I actually think, I look at my team, and I can even consider myself, despite being able to make my transfers, I can consider myself unlucky, I think. But I'm now left in a position, for those that didn't go Haaland to Alvarez, Haaland got 5, Alvarez 9, but you've saved a transfer and you haven't got the headache of having to try and get him back. I'd much rather, knowing what we know now and what happened and the points that came in, I'd have rather stayed on Haaland, right?
Yeah.
So there we go. The KDB penalty that Haaland scored was good for me. Even though I didn't own Haaland and I knew he scored it, as soon as I saw it was KDB that got the assist, I was like, okay, that's actually better for me, even as a non-Haaland owner, because I captained KDB, and the celebration, he got the yellow card, Haaland, which meant KDB went from 1 bonus to 2 bonus, and obviously he gets the assist. So I had a little, I was net up on that one action of that penalty, despite it being Haaland, who's, I don't know his EO, but it was probably very scary to not own him. And I didn't even look at his EO because I was worried.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And look at your bench, though. 6 with Ward, 7 with Bailey, 6 with Andreas.
Hey, every time, well, Bailey. Leon Bailey, I've not had points from all season. He's been on my bench. But he does occasionally get these good returns. And it's like, oh, he's on my bench.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have played him. It was new manager bounce at Villa Park. I did consider him or Nico as first sub, and went Nico Williams first sub. And obviously came on for Mitrovic.
Yeah. It's a lottery a lot of the time, isn't it? I'm finding that with players. I mean, it's another point for Andreas, though, when people have called on him. You know, Mitrovic going out, he was first sub for a lot of people and comes in. He is a good sub to have.
Great to know he's on pens when Mitrovic is on the pitch as well. We didn't even know that before.
No, absolutely. Just before we move over to Game Week 16, let's talk about Salah quickly. 15 points for him. It was a better Liverpool performance, but again, really gifted 2 goals by Spurs as well. I mean, it was a good game in the end. I mean, what did you make of Salah, though, in that game? Because he's finally rewarded people, but I think he had 2 shots in the game. Is that right?
Something and I know it must be slightly painful because I know you sold him early. Yeah. And I know I told you not to.
Don't want to talk about it.
The first goal I thought was great. Like, it was a fantastic first touch and finish, and Darwin laid it off to him. The second goal was complete luck. Like, Dyer, what a howler from a goal kick. And as much as that Dyer can play in the middle of a back three as the sweeper, but when you've got responsibilities to clear, like, and tackle and track as you do when you play either side of that centre back, Dyer, too many questions are asked of Dyer, and he's shown over the years he's not good enough. He's a good sweeper, and he likes having time on the ball. He's a good passer. That system is very good for him. But it was very good for David Luiz, who was also a rubbish centre-back. But when you're playing that role in the back three, it can suit some players. And Dyer looks very good for it. And David Luiz always looked brilliant for it as well. But Salah, I saw the formation, the diamond in midfield, Bobby behind the front two of Darwin and Salah central. I like it. It was a very good first half from Liverpool. Despite being gifted that second goal, I thought they were very good value in that first half. Second half, it was all Spurs and Liverpool still sort of limped over the line. I don't have a huge amount of confidence when they play strong teams. And the chances against them is ridiculous, you know. But Southampton at Anfield, I'm expecting a lot. Expecting a lot. It's a really nice fixture.
And I mean, the two transfers I made were taking out 2 players with what I thought looked quite tough fixtures this week. And I would have been worried next week. Yeah. And they've actually got all their points this week. And then they've got the good fixture to come.
And they might still get them again.
So, really, really painful. Luckily, this isn't my team selection, so we haven't got to keep going on about it.
Tune in for that on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't think I'm doing one this week. So let's take a look at you, how you're set up for Game Week 16.
Yeah.
So you've got your double Newcastle defence, Pope and Trippier. It's Cancelo and Zuma. Bailey is coming into the team. Martinelli, De Bruyne, Salah currently with the captaincy. Mitrovic, Alvarez and Kane, with Ward, Williams, Andreas and Bueno on your bench. Okay, let's address the elephant in the room then. You seem to have, you've got a City striker, which is good. It's just not the right one.
Yeah, I made the transfers last week knowing if I sell Haaland, I'm going to lose 0.3. And I lost 0.3 and I'm up for that because I genuinely thought Alvarez could be on a hat-trick, right? So I was willing to take that risk. But I also knew the minute I sold Haaland, I knew I was always going to be bringing him back. And that was always the plan. So the plan was always to bring him back. And bring him back I will, as long as we think he's fit. I'm interested to see if he's even in the squad. I think they play Chelsea this evening on Wednesday night. Training photos again, I'll be looking at. Personally, I think he'll start. I've seen Pep's quotes on Tuesday. I think I'm okay with them. It's Pep. Pinch of salt. Now, a route back to Haaland last week, I hadn't quite worked out, but I knew it would mean sacrificing a premium and I knew it would mean a 4-point hit. So I've got 3 options. Pretty much I'm converting Kane to Haaland and that means I need to sell a Man City slot. So that would mean Alvarez to a 7 million forward, Scamacca, for example. I would sell Salah to Haaland, effectively. It would mean selling Salah to a cheap midfielder and then Alvarez to Haaland. Or selling De Bruyne for Haaland, which would mean De Bruyne gets converted to a Man City mid or a Rashford. And then Alvarez up to Haaland. So they're my three options. I pretty much have to sacrifice one of those three premiums to get him and take a 4-point hit. I do think that's the right call for me. Some would say just go without him for a week, Captain Salah or Captain Kane for a week. I genuinely think Haaland is head and shoulders above those others, which means I have to get him for that 4-point hit, in my opinion. So at the moment, I'm likely to compromise on KDB. I could still have triple City because KDB could become Bernardo Silva. Can't be Foden, but I don't think I want it to be Foden. And then Alvarez to Haaland.
That is really interesting. I wouldn't have thought you'd be taking a 4-point hit to get Haaland back and selling one of those. Because it's not just a 4-point hit for Haaland, is it? It's selling one of De Bruyne, Salah and Kane, all with...
Yeah, good fixtures.
All with great fixtures. Yeah, all potential captaincy options, really. Interesting.
So, after watching that first half of Liverpool-Spurs, I was pretty set on selling Harry Kane. I was looking at it going, I can go Kane to Scamacca, Alvarez to Haaland. I shouldn't keep saying Scamacca, a 7 million forward. And then I saw the second half, and boy, was Spurs good. Mm. And Kane did what he does, and he looks, you know, Kane's going to want to score before the World Cup, momentum. The Leeds fixture again, I watched Leeds against Bournemouth, and the last couple of Leeds games, it's like, okay, yeah, they're good and they're scoring goals, but geez, do they allow chances against them. So I watched that second half, after seeing Salah in the first half, Kane in the second half, and went, these two guys I can't compromise on. I feel like I can compromise on De Bruyne. As good an option as he is, when he plays on the same pitch as Haaland, FPL history shows us in the first half many game weeks we've had, when they've played together, Haaland outscores De Bruyne. Mm. Even when De Bruyne gets good points, Haaland still outscores De Bruyne. We had this conversation earlier in the season. I know Mark was going against Haaland a bit, and he was captain De Bruyne. It was like, it's a good captaincy option, De Bruyne, but he's no Haaland.
No.
Not in
FPL.
No, it's
true. Yeah, I think out of those three, I think it would be De Bruyne that I'd lose. I don't think you can sell Salah ahead of Southampton at home. I mean, you could lose Kane, but I think it makes sense because I think the Haaland is an upgrade on De Bruyne, and then you can have a bit of fun with that midfield spot. I mean, you could go for another City mid, like you mentioned. You could go for even like a Grealish or a Bernardo Silva or 1 week and just try and, you know, hope they just get a massive score against Brentford.
I think I'd have 8 million to spend.
Yeah, okay.
And I can pretty much get any Man City mid other than Foden, who I wouldn't want. So I was currently looking, probably thinking, if Bernardo Silva's rested against Chelsea, he's the one that sort of is pretty reliable for starts and 90s. Remember, I don't want to make these moves last minute. I'm not going to be waiting for leaks. So, you know, if I thought even Gundogan was starting or Bernardo or even Amarez or Grealish, I'd have the funds to go there for a 1 week punt, which could be really fun.
Yeah. Do we know what's wrong with Mitrovic? Do we know why he missed out?
He got a knock on international duty for Serbia about a month ago. And we knew when he got that knock that he was carrying a knock to the point where Fulham had been bringing him off in a few games and he was flagged a couple of times. And it was reported after the game, again, it's a recurrence of that knock. I've got a bit of a theory on this that he's no worse than what he was 2 weeks ago, that they looked at the fixtures and went, he's knocking on the manager's door going, look, I've got Serbia going to a World Cup. I'm their main man. Mm. This doesn't happen much. I want to be fresh. I need a week off because I've been pushing myself to the limit for you guys in the last month from that injury I picked up on international duty. I can play one of these next two games, but I need a week off. And they went, we're not going to get anything from the Etihad. They nearly did. But that's your game off. And look, Craven Cottage, Man United at home, game week 16, we see that as winnable. We need you fit and firing for that. I guarantee you'll start.
Okay, good. That's because I'm just looking at your team and I'm thinking, okay, you're taking this 4-point hit to sort out your Haaland or lack of Haaland issue. But then you've got Mitrovic with a flag, you've got Bailey, you've got double Newcastle defence at home to Chelsea, although the way Chelsea are playing at the moment, that's probably not too much of a bad thing. So there probably is other things that you could do if you wanted to have a bit of fun. But at the same time, you've got to deal with Alvarez because if Haaland's going to come back in, he's going to be relegated to the bench, we would have thought.
Or could he play on the right? Because Foden's been playing so poor. Well, he's not been favoured by Pep in that right-hand role. No one's really staked a claim to go, I need to play on that right-hand slot in the last month. Now, Bernardo Silva does a great job, but he's also so valuable in the middle. Knowing Alvarez played well against Fulham and scored that great goal, and Pep has said before he can play down the right, it would be so Pep game week 16, Haaland starts and Alvarez still gets loads of points and starts on the right. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
So I do wonder if that happens, but I can't have them both. And obviously it's Haaland who I want.
Well, I mean, the worst thing to happen tonight would be for Alvarez to be benched and Foden to play.
Yeah.
Because then you've got to think that, on Saturday, Alvarez has had a little rest and he's been doing well and he probably comes back in. So
yeah,
they could either go up to two up top and change things around a bit. I think Foden will start tonight.
I think Alvarez might start and score goals, though, come off at 60 and we go, oh, he could start again at the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I don't think I'll be doing, though, is waiting for teams. And guys, for those that are looking at that, don't take the risk this week, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's been 3 weeks on the trot. Make your transfers early this week. I do think you need to Saturday morning.
Oh, Foden is a player who I did not think was going to be an issue.
I know. We all sold Trossard for him, didn't we?
I know. I just thought he's got that spot, the left spot or the right spot, nailed down, one of the two. He's been playing really well, scoring, best form ever. And something has happened. Something has happened, I swear, behind the scenes.
It happened last Christmas, didn't it? And we later found out he was on the naughty step. But at the time, I think he had an incident with Grealish where he was out late. Mm. But again, it was around the Boxing Day fixtures. We all had him in our teams. And it was away to Newcastle at St James's Park. And out of nowhere, he was just benched. And then he missed a few games then.
Something similar has happened again. It must have done. You can't go from starting every match this season to missing three in a row.
Big ones as well. Like, the Premier League's so important. They hadn't even been top of the league, It was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Mahrez. He still can't even get a start. Bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got Mitrovic flagged. You mentioned my double Newcastle defence with Pope and Trippier. I could play Ward. Like, West Ham haven't been putting up trees, and Leicester keeping clean sheets galore. But I do look at that fixture and think, Chelsea have been so poor. St James's Park, I'm not convinced Chelsea score in that game. So looking at forgetting that I've got Trippier, looking at it in isolation, Pope versus Chelsea at home, or Ward on the road to West Ham, and that is the bit that does it for me, it's that away fixture. I do think West Ham score, and I think I'm going to go Pope.
I think Newcastle will be pretty confident of getting a win, I'd say, against Chelsea.
Yeah, they've got to be favourites.
Yeah, they have. They're playing incredible football, incredible stuff at the moment. Let's talk about some of your picks then. So you talk about maybe taking De Bruyne out and getting a Rashford or someone. Are there any players you're looking at? Game week 16. I mean, this is the big question. This is content this week is tough because it all comes down to one question, really, which is, who's going to get the most points this week?
I, as always, I'm defaulting back towards Man City for obvious reasons, but I do think there's a few nuggets. Players that I'm probably not going to buy, but I like the look of. I think Wilfred Zaha, I know you've just sold him, and I know so many have just sold him.
Don't say that, Jenny.
He goes to Forest, and one thing we've learnt from Nottingham Forest still is they look like they're going to concede tons of chances. And the best thing about Zaha, which unfortunately his owners weren't able to benefit from, was at the weekend, yes, he scored a goal and got an assist, but it was where he played. He's not been playing down the middle, he's been playing wide left. Well, at the weekend, they played a 4-4-2, Ayew wide right, Eze played on the left, and it was Wilf down the middle with Elise. That front two was so good against West Ham. Beating West Ham at the London Stadium is a really good result for Palace, who aren't always great on the road. Well, they're on the road again to Nottingham Forest, and I think they'll be unchanged. And I think we'll see Zaha down the middle again. Mm. Has the penalty appeal too. He's a good pick, Zaha, against Forest.
I just didn't see him coming away from that game. West Ham's defensive numbers have been so good. Palace's attacking stats have been so poor. And Zaha's own, stats have been poor. So,
but that's on the left. And now he said to him, look, Edouard wasn't doing it and Zaha can do it. And we know there's a player there. It's such a shame for the Wilf sellers that they only got that insight into him playing centrally and that turn of performance the day after they sold him.
Yeah.
Gutting, really.
It's a classic thing with FPL, which is patience, which is where does patience with a player end and stubbornness begin? Because, I'm looking at that and thinking week after week, I'm sticking with him throughout the good fixtures. And I look at the West Ham away game and I think, hey, this is a tough one. And he hasn't been there. He hasn't been doing it. And so I take him out. And if I'd taken Foden out instead, I'd be, 12 points, 13 points better off. It's big. You get punished hard for things like this. It's quite difficult to take, especially when the last goal as well is, first of all, it's a Elise goal and then it's an own goal. And then he gets the assist, and then he gets the bonus as well, because he wasn't on for bonus before that. But I've got to stop talking about my team as well, sorry.
The other one is Brighton, though, but in terms of fixtures. I know Aston Villa looked really good against United, but the new manager bounce, we've seen that with Emery, and it could continue. But going away to Brighton, I think, again, I'm not sure you'll get a huge amount of optimism from Villa fans in that particular fixture, because Brighton have been so good. The way Brighton are playing, knowing it's at Brighton, and the way Trossard's been playing, I just think Trossard's a nice little punt as a game week 16 too. He's had more shots. I think Scout tweeted yesterday, I saw a tweet from Scout, something like, since De Zerbi's taken over, only one or two players have had more shots than Trossard in the league. And he's playing centrally. He wants to get in that Belgian starting 11. There's talk that it will be Trossard starting for Belgium. I think he's got a really good chance. He's certainly good enough, instead of the likes of Hazard, who's been such a good servant, but it hasn't been playing well. So, still an incentive there. There's also a transfer. His contract's out, I think, at the end of the summer. So, clubs will be sniffing around Trossard in the January window. Chelsea in particular, there's a lot of incentives for... It could be his last game at Brighton. Seriously, it won't be.
Jenny, why are you saying such horrible things today?
So I like Trossard for his last game at the Amex, which
last
it won't be.
Last game at the Amex?
It's a January window, isn't it? And the season comes back the 26th of December. But there will be clubs looking at Trossard this window. They probably won't get him. They won't get him until the summer. But if Brighton wants some money for him, they've got to sell him in the winter. So
I'm just looking up when his
I think his contract ends. Up in the summer.
Yeah, it is. Oh God. We do have an option to extend it by another year.
Okay.
Which obviously we would. Oh God, I didn't realise it was that soon.
Mate, if he has a good World Cup as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's a top four player, isn't he?
He is. He's got the potential to be. Yeah. He's still frustrating, and he can be inconsistent. But I do wonder what he would look like if he was put into a top team. I mean, someone like Newcastle, for example.
Yeah.
If they came in for him, you know, big, it'd be really hard. You know, if they're in the top, you know, they've got top four aspirations, and they put in a 67 million bid for him in January. Oh, God. Oh, what a horrible note to end.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah. Madison's another one that Newcastle I could see happening. But they'll probably test the Leicester resolve again. But yeah, and again, Madison's another good punt.
Yeah.
He'll be gutted with not making the England squad if he doesn't. But
if he doesn't make the England squad, I mean, that is the biggest joke I think there is. I mean, come on.
I'm gutted for him because I don't think he will. I don't think he will make it, but he absolutely should.
I think he'll make it. I think he has to. I think Southgate... There's no benefit to him not taking him because he's clearly the
he's
most
the
important.
X factor.
Yeah,
he's the X factor. Every squad needs someone that can do a little bit different to everyone else. Well, Mads does that. No one's saying put him in the 11 straight away. They're saying he needs to be in the squad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have him in the 11, but Southgate wouldn't.
Well, we don't have that creative midfielder, really. You know, our most creative midfielder is arguably Ward-Prowse or Bellingham or someone. Yeah. I mean, we've got Mount as well, but... Mount and Grealish and Foden could all play there, but you know I think they're more likely to play a bit further up if that happens. I don't know. I think
considered wide forwards, aren't they? You know, Mason Mount isn't a wide forward, but that's where Gareth likes to play him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just talk quickly about kind of the table so far. So we've got Arsenal top of the league.
Yeah.
I don't think too many of us would be expecting that at this stage. 34 points. They'll really want to go into the World Cup break top of the league. A very winnable game against Wolves, so you would think this was how the table will end. You know, going into this break, Newcastle in third, incredible stuff for them, 27 points for them, and Spurs in fourth. Do you think that's going to change much? I mean, we've got Chelsea right down in seventh, Liverpool down in eighth, Man United in fifth. What do you think the top four would look like?
I think Arsenal, City, will be locked. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Newcastle drop off in the new year at some point, because that tends to happen on teams with smaller squads that do well at the start. We saw it with Arsenal last year, who then drop off at the end. Although, look, maybe Newcastle invest really well in January and continue going strength to strength. I think Spurs will get top four. So I think there's one spot up for grabs. I think it'll be Arsenal, City, Spurs, and then it'll be United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Newcastle. And it's really hard to call that. I don't think United will get there. I think it'll be Liverpool, Chelsea or Newcastle.
Mm.
And I'm not confident over Liverpool, just like I'm not over Chelsea. So Newcastle have got a chance this year. But yeah, I think City will win the league and I think Arsenal will come second.
It's up for grabs, isn't it? Because Liverpool and Chelsea are incredibly inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no identity to the way Chelsea are playing. It's
not
really
at all.
Poor.
No, it's going to take Potter a bit of time and probably a few transfer windows, I think, to kind of implement what he wants. That's if he's given time as well. I do wonder, though, if their form continues the way it is and they drop down to, you know, 8th, 9th, is the new owner going to start getting a bit worried about it, or would he persist with it? I mean, he's got a 5-year contract, so it'd be a pretty big statement to get rid of him, but you never really know what could happen. But yeah, it's going to be a really interesting battle, that. Because, I mean, Spurs as well haven't exactly been great. So that there is two spots really open for these teams. I think Newcastle will be looking at it in January and thinking we can get ahead of our kind of plan and try breaking stuff forward. What about relegation then? I mean, Forest and Wolves both on 10 points at the moment.
Yeah.
Southampton on 12, just sat the manager. Bournemouth on 13. And then Everton on 14. They're kind of the most likely candidates.
Yeah, there's a few teams on 14, isn't there?
Leicester as well.
I mean, Forest, I think, are done. Because one thing Forest won't do in January, usually when you see teams down there, you go, oh, they need to buy in January. One thing Forest will not do, and they do not need to do, is buy in January. They bought too many players.
Mark
right?
thinks they're going to spend another 100.
Really? What's the point? They've shown they can't buy players and get them into this team and make them work. Work with what you've got and give them some time, because I don't think big-ish names, the type that Forest will buy, are going to work for this team. So I think Forest are done. And look, Wolves with Lopetegui, we could see the new manager bounce, and that they have got some incredible players. We don't always see them playing well, but some of those Portuguese players Wolves have got are very good. Southampton, I think, are in real trouble, even with new manager. I think it'll be Southampton, Forest and Bournemouth, and I think Wolves will just about do enough.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. I mean, I do look at the Wolves squad, though, and I do think, you know, there are problems, big problems, and the break is going to help them, hopefully, because they can
get
Jimenez back.
Jimenez and Diego Costa, with their injury problems, both of them, it's like, who's going to lead your line? And that when a team goes down, or is in that relegation zone, the one thing you often look at is where the goal's coming from.
Yeah.
And you look at some of those other teams, in you know, Everton with Calvert-Lewin, or even West Ham and Leicester, these guys have got top quality strikers. The teams we're mentioning probably haven't. And maybe that's why Bournemouth have a chance, because Kiefer Moore and Solanke do look like they'll score goals in this division.
Yeah. I mean, a lot. Okay, so let's talk Fantasy 5 before we finish. It's the final Fantasy 5 of the Premier League season. Obviously, it's 5 games to pick one player from. Get them all right and you win £10,000. The games are Tottenham Leeds, Newcastle Chelsea, Wolves Arsenal, Brighton Villa and Fulham Man United. Good games. Potential for goals in quite a few of these, I think. Let's start with Tottenham Leeds. No crazy points for Kane. He's back up to 9.5 this time. Kulusevski as well. He changed the game when he came on. He's on 9.5 as well. The Leeds players more kindly priced. Bamford's on 6.5. Someone like Aronson 6.5. Rodrigo 7.5.
What's Somerville?
Somerville is 7.5. Yeah, he's had a good spell.
Yeah, he's really good, but I wouldn't pay 7.5 on this for him, knowing Aronson 6.5.
I know. I'm going to the Spurs game, sitting with the Spurs fan. So I kind of want to go for a Spurs player here.
Well, I think you could go for Kane
at 9.5.
Kane Brace.
Yeah, that'll get it. 4, 8, 10. Yeah, that'll get it. Doesn't get booked. Newcastle Chelsea. Callum Wilson 6.5, Aubameyang 6.5. They've really, you know, they've really sitting on the fence with some of these prices.
What's Trippier?
Trippier, he'll probably be 6.5. He is 7.5. Okay, a bit more. All the other defenders across both games are 6.5, so we'd need something. Someone like Mount 7.5, Sterling 7.5.
I think we go Newcastle.
Yeah, me too. Almiron 7.5.
Wilson at 6.5, cheaper than Almiron.
Yeah,
and I think he'll be fine. Cause it was just a sniffles.
Cool, let's go. Wilson, Wolves, Arsenal. I think we've got to go for an Arsenal player, right? Can't really go for a Wolves one. Then there's some cheapish players, but not cheap enough.
Xhaka? He's usually well-priced.
Xhaka is 7.5, quite a lot. Jesus is 9.5. Saka, 8.5. Martinelli, 8.5. Probably one of them.
Yeah, I'd go Martinelli.
Marcelli 8.5?
I think so. I'd rather go Martinez than Gabby Jesus, who's saved the money.
Yeah, okay. Yep, might be that.
He's just got into the Brazil squad. And you heard the story about that. When he was 7 years old, his dad said, when you're 21, there's a World Cup. There's a FIFA World Cup when you're 21. You're going to play for Brazil, son.
No way.
Actually, he said this story happened. And I think the last time he played for Brazil, he even wore the 21 shirt. And yeah, he's 21 years old, got in the squad instead of Bobby Firmino.
I know. What an attack they've got, though. I mean, Neymar, Antony, Vinicius, Neymar, Martinelli. Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, Brighton Villa next. I think we both would lean towards Trossard, right? 8-5.
Yeah.
For him. I think it's probably quite an easy one. Welbeck 6-5, McAllister 7-5. It's got to be Trossard, doesn't it?
I think so. I'm surprised. McAllister gets in the Argentina squad. Like, yeah. That's mental.
I know. There's pictures of him with his arm around Messi.
That's crazy.
All that stuff. I know. and Fulham United next. Mitrovic, not kindly priced. 8-5.
I think Mitrovic is going to have a big week, though. I don't know if we should go for him on this, but I think this is a good Mitro fixture.
He'd need two goals.
He's going to bully whoever plays centre-back.
Pereira, 7-5. And then all the United mids, 8-5. Really?
I think we go Mitro, mate.
You want to go Mitro?
I think Mitro is going to have a big game. I think United just conceded 4 to Villa, and it will be Lindelof. It'll either be Lindelof and Maguire with Martinez. So it'll be one of them. Whoever it is, if it's Lindelof, Mitro will have loads of fun.
Mitrovic is done. In. Beautiful. Jenny.
We've got a few flagged players there with Wilson and Mitrovic, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right. They'll make it. They'll make it. Jenny, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, doing these last 16 weeks of team reveals with you. Enjoy the World Cup.
Back.
Enjoy the time,
mate.
Off. And we'll be back. Great. We'll be back just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, sounds good.
Weirdly enough. Yep, excellent. Thanks. And everyone, thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.